Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
No, President Trump, I'll be right with you in just a minute. I've got, yes, sir. No, I don't, listen, I don't, no, Melania, no, I don't have time right now, okay? Listen, I've got a meeting with Paul Ryan. After I'm done with Paul Ryan, then I'm meeting with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and then I'll, okay, yeah, what? Make America great, yes, sir, we'll do that. Hey, folks, hi, live from Washington, D.C., No, that's a lie, and we're not even in Washington, D.C. yet. We're in Rockville. We're in Rockville, Maryland, streaming to you live, thanks to McDonald's. Hope the quality's good. I'm handicapped today. By that, I mean I can't see everybody in the queue. Maybe if I touch this thing, I'm going to be able to, but I can't see y'all. So you're going to have to help me out here today, do this broadcast, this live broadcast. Lowell Morrison, friend of the show, friend of us from Lancaster, agreed to come and be the caddy. So he's driving us around. I got David Arthur over here. David and I are going to be part of a press conference today at the Supreme Court building. And the Supreme Court, this thing was put together by Pete LaBarbera. I spoke about it a little bit yesterday. And so we're doing that at 11 o'clock. And I just give you guys fair warning. You know, something I haven't done a good job of. I just don't know. You know, the Alphabet Man, David Arthur, you know, he does his own show. Does his own Google Hangout show at 9 o'clock right here on these same stations. And so if you don't turn on Rush Limbaugh, though he's probably not on that early. Don't turn on Mike Gallagher, whoever you listen to in the morning. Turn on David Arthur. And I've noticed this about David's show. I haven't even told him this, so I've got to be careful what I say. He does great teaching. It's not as interactive as what this show is, what this show tries to be. He does great teaching. So we're going to try to do David's show. If Lowell can get the machine running, we're going to do David's show live at the Supreme Court. Maybe grab him some good interviews and all that. But we're not there yet. We're heading that way. We're going to try to stream the entire press conference, 11 o'clock. I'm going to try to Facebook Live it. I probably could have set up a huddle with Jared. I wasn't thinking ahead. But we'll Facebook Live it. I don't know exactly how many people are going to be there to speak, but we're honored to be there. Anytime we get a chance to come into Washington, D.C., into the belly of the beast, it's great to be able to be here. Had some great discussions on the way out here today. And again, I'm sorry, folks. I'm holding my phone the best I can here. A cup of coffee and all that. Bell showing. You know what the truth of it is? Here's what I'm glad about this press conference. The Obergefell decision, that ungodly, unrighteous decision about marriage, was rendered 3 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been 3 years ago, but it has. And when we lose, we throw in the towel. I don't know if you noticed that the other side hardly ever throws in the towel. They're relentless. In fact, as Lowell said to me yesterday, they claim victory when they lose. And they regroup and they come back and they keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And for the most part, those of us who carry the name of Christ, we have such a defeatism in the church? So we're 3 years down the road. Marriage was between a man and a woman for 6,000 years, probably longer than that. Institution of marriage, 6,000 years. And 3 years ago, six terrorists in black robes changed the entire definition of marriage in Western civilization. And boom, all of a sudden we say, well, that's it. That's the law of the land. Well, it isn't the law of the land. And I could take you through that whole litany of things that are not laws. Maybe I'll do that here in a bit just to refresh some of you who are new, maybe new to the program. Homosexual marriage, it is not the law of the land. It's, well, remember I did the show, talked about pretended legislation? That's what gay marriage is, pretended legislation. In fact, it's not even legislation. Hey, Jared, pull up for me Constitution of the United States real quickly. And this is going to be tough because I don't have a, I really can't see my screen real good. Jared, I can see you. Jared's doing a good job over there. Thanks, Jared. And I just want to take you to Article 1, Section 1. You say, Coach, this is supposed to be a religious show. Well, first of all, I hate religion. So it isn't a religious show. I hate religion. It's a issues-oriented Christian broadcast. But if we go to Article 1, Section 1, Jared, just click on that. Article 1, Section 1. And if you blow that up, it says what, Jared? Is Roger in the crowd today? I'm giving Roger a chance.
I'm in.
Yeah, he's out chasing his dog. I was just going to let him do it because he's a lawyer, all right? I'm going to read it. All legislative powers. Time out. What's legislate mean? Legislate means lawmaking, all right? All lawmaking. Wait a minute. What is all? Is George with us? George, are you there? Somebody help me out here. George, are you with us today? Gee, many, none of the regulars here. Well, he's out. He's chasing his dog. All, how much is all?
All means
hey,
all.
Lowell, you help me. How much is all, Lowell?
All of it.
All of it. Thing. How much is left over when you go do all? How much is, David, how much is left after we do all?
Nothing's left after you do all.
It's nothing's left after we do all. Nothing. So it says all legislative powers. My glasses. Herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. All lawmaking power is in the Senate and the House. It's called Congress. Now, how much is for the courts?
Zero.
Class, are you with me today, class? I feel like I'm alone with these two guys. I've already been in the car with them for 6 hours.
All. Amen, Coach.
George is awake. Good, George. Now I know I'm
working. Amen.
So the Constitution says that all legislative powers granted herein shall be vested in Congress of the United States, which shall consist of the Senate, House of Representatives. So therefore, the courts making law, the courts cannot make law. So Obergefell is not the law of the land. They just tell us it is. And Jared, you don't have to do this right now, but I talked about it the other day. Thomas Jefferson called it, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, called it pretended legislation. So we've been living for 3 years in America under pretended legislation, a law that they told us was a law. Like, am I boring you guys? Because I think this is important for some people to get. Let me make this for you. Everson versus the Board of Education, 1947. Was when they ruled on the law, or the ruling came down to what they called the separation between the church and the state. Hugo Black, who was a virulent anti-Catholic, he was a KKK member actually, wrote the opinion in Everson versus the Board of Education. And Everson versus the Board of Education was this: money was going to schools, Catholic schools. And being a good KKK member and a good anti-Catholic, Hugo Black didn't think that was very good. So he went back into American history and he found a letter that Thomas Jefferson had written to the Danbury Baptists in 1801, in which Danbury Baptists had written Thomas Jefferson and asked him if whether or not he was going to make a state church. I'm paraphrasing. You're going to make a federal church like we just left the Church of England? Are we going to have a Church of America? Because They didn't trust Jefferson. They didn't think he was a Christian. If he was a Christian, he was Episcopal, Church of England. They didn't trust that. And all the colonies at this point, all 13 of them were set up by denominations. Say what? Yeah, yeah. Pennsylvania was Quaker. You guys know the history, don't you? Rhode Island was Baptist. New York was Dutch Reformed. England was Episcopal. Massachusetts was Church of England, Episcopal. And so when Thomas Jefferson wrote his letter, folks, I'm coming to a mic drop moment, okay? He said that there was a separation between the church and the state. Hey, David, why didn't he say there was a separation between the church and the feds? Why didn't he?
I don't know.
Why didn't he say there's a separation between the church and the federal government? Well, you know why he didn't do that? Because religion was states' rights. Remember, 13 colonies all had their own states. You know, they had their own religion. And they said, but Jefferson, you're going to make it one religion? Because we don't want it that way. They just written that new constitution. We don't want it that way. He said, no. There's a separation between the church and the state. Not the Fed. State was a church. Religion was a state's issue. Okay? 1947, Jefferson versus the Board of Education. Justice Hugo Black said that no longer applies. There is a separation between the church and the federal government, Hugo Black said. He said he found that somewhere in the First Amendment of the Constitution. And so at that point, he criminalized the Ten Commandments in schools, prayer in schools, Bible reading in schools. Nobody realized that, but that's what he did. And that's all, of course, bear with me, based on stare decisis. We learned stare decisis means previously decided cases. Because of stare decisis in 1947, which is pretended legislation, which is no legislation at all because it came out of the courts, said that there was a separation between the church and state. In 1961, they stripped Bible reading out because there was a separation between the church and state. 1963, they stripped prayer out because they said there was a separation between the church and the state. 1973, they legalized abortion. Why? Because that's a moral issue and there's a separation between the church and state, Hugo Black told us in 1947. In 1980, they took down the Ten Commandments off the wall. Why did they take down the Ten Commandments off the wall? Because stare decisis, previously decided cases, where the courts had said that there's a separation between the church and state, and so therefore, the Ten Commandments are religious, and we can't have those. Do you see the game they played on us? In 2001, they legalized homosexual sodomy. 2015, they legalized homosexual marriage. And all of it's based on what? Separation between morality and the state. Come on in, George. I heard you pecking.
Coach, and wasn't this all was done with the full consent of the American people? You know, I had someone tell me the other day, they said, hey, even if Dan Fisher gets elected as governor of Oklahoma, he can't abolish abortion. He said the courts will just overturn it. And I said, well, you know what? That's true. The fight's just going to begin when Dan Fisher gets here because we've abdicated. We, the American people, have abdicated the throne, so to speak. That's really what's happened, isn't it?
It is, George. And let me make this a little bit more clear, because in 2004 here in the state of Ohio, I'm not in Ohio, but when I live in Ohio, I'm just not there right now. In 2004, we passed a marriage amendment in the state of Ohio. Remember that law?
Yes, sir.
Marriage, according to the Ohio Constitution, is one man, one woman. Written into the Constitution, amended into the Constitution in 2004.
Passed with 70%.
Passed with 70%. Actually, that's why good George Bush elected, was the marriage amendment. And so then what happened? So remember, religion is what? Who has the right of religion, David? See if you're following our history class. Who has control of religion? The church? I'm sorry, the state or the feds?
The states
do, right? See, the federal government only has control of everything that's what's clearly laid out. That's the 9th and 10th Amendment. Jared, can you pull that up there real quickly? I'm sorry, guys. I'm not trying to bore that. I just believe there's some people who are watching who've never heard any of this. David said he's never heard any of this. Pull up the 9th and 10th Amendment, Jared. if we can. The Bill of Rights is really, really clear. See, the courts have usurped our power. So the Ninth Amendment right there, it says the enumeration of the Constitution. In other words, the listing of the duties, the rights of the Constitution, of the enumeration or the listing in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So is marriage mentioned in the Constitution? No. So who has authority on marriage? The state. What's number 10 say, Jared? The 10th Amendment says what? Serge says he hadn't heard any of this. Well, thanks, Serge. Look at the 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So is marriage listed in the Constitution? In the federal Constitution, is marriage listed as an area of concern for the federal government? The answer is no. So who has jurisdiction over marriage then?
State.
The state. Come on, folks, it's hitting hard, man. And so when we passed the marriage amendment in Ohio in 2004, what did the federal government say? Sorry, we're going to go in and we're going to trump those states' constitutions. Pretended legislation. Anybody not heard this before? Maybe I need to do a whole teaching on this. Now, Lowell, I'm going to put Lowell on the spot because Lowell's kind of an expert in this kind of stuff too. What can you add to that, Lowell?
The courts usurp the right to legislate, and they are doing it increasingly more.
Say that again.
The courts usurp the right to legislate. They've become a nobility. They're appointed for life. They have no accountability to the people. It's not a good thing. It needs to be changed.
So what George just said to us, George said, well, Dan Fisher is going to make abortion illegal in Oklahoma. And what's the response, George? What do people say, George, when they say Dan Fisher is going to do that?
They say he won't be able to because the courts are going to overturn it and they're not going to allow him to do that.
See how this game works? See how this game works, right? And so what has happened? Folks, listen, as Lowell said, this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I put a meme up yesterday on my Facebook page and didn't get a whole lot of response because it was probably one of those mic drop moments. I asked this, you ready? Who elected Mueller? Who elected Comey? Who elected Strozik or Strokes or whatever his name is? Who elected Rosenstein? Who elected Page? Who elected, does anybody know? Well, how can these people have any power or authority over us? What is going on? And so see, the problem, they gave very little, the Supreme Court was supposed to simply rule on legality of law. Folks, listen, this is, Serge, are you sitting down, Serge? Listen. Can we use some common sense here? When Roe versus Wade went to the Supreme Court of the United States, and the Supreme Court struck down Roe versus Wade, folks, that didn't legalize abortion in America. When you go into a courtroom, if David Arthur goes into a courtroom for, let's pick your crime, he goes into a courtroom for drunk driving, let's say, and he stands before the judge, and the judge says, okay, David, here's the particulars of your case. You tested this, you tested this, you tested this, you tested this, you tested this. Okay, David, so that, now, therefore, we find you guilty, and anybody else who's drunk, ever drunk, they're guilty too. This is now the law of the land. Each case is by an individual basis. Is it not, Lowell?
Yes.
By an individual basis. So Roe versus Wade, folks, listen, this is so simple. Roe versus Wade simply gave Jane Roe the right to kill her baby. It did not legalize abortion.
Yeah.
Are you guys getting this?
It gave her permission.
It gave her permission.
Forgiveness after the fact.
That's right. That's right. And so every major decision in your lifetime, in my lifetime, we just went through them, prayer in school, Bible reading, Ten Commandments, abortion, sodomy, marriage. None of those were ever decided by the will of the people. None of them were. I'm going to flip this chair. Is everybody going to get dizzy? There we go. Now I can look at the camera. There we go. None of them were by the will of the people. They were done by judicial tyranny, judicial fiat. Yeah, Dale. Is it Dale?
Yes, sir. Just a few pointers in there. First off, with Roe vs. Wade, with Norma McCorvey, not only did that decision only affect her, but she purged herself on the courts because she lied. She said she was raped, and she wasn't. So that case should have automatically been thrown out anyway. Second thing is that she never had an abortion. The thing with Dan Fisher in Oklahoma, we see the enemy doing the very same thing with these sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. You just resist it where the church refuses to resist it. And then the last, I get it, fictitious law, pretend law. Well, that goes right along with what we got going on with our church in America. It's fictitious and it's pretend.
Pretended legislation. See, folks, it's not a law at all. It's only a law because they have buffaloed us into believing that it is and following us. The Supreme Court, 9 unelected judges were never anywhere given the power to rule over the American people. And that's what's going on. And so the left has understood that. The left has seized the courts, and the left has given what they call the supremacy clause. They've given that supremacy to the courts, and the courts don't have that. All legislative power rests in the Congress. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You know, just a little bit. When the 3 branches of the government were designed up, the Supreme Court was given the least power of all.
Right.
The House of Representatives was given the most because that's why it was closest to the people to have the purse strings attached to it. Now look what we've seen. The Supreme Court has the most power, and the House of Congress, the House of Representatives, has the least power.
That's right. And folks, listen, Dale, I'm sorry for the history lesson, but I think it's good. David, tell me it's good. It's good. Folks, listen. Let me walk you down this so we understand. Because Mr. Smith is going to Washington. Mr. Smith and Mr. Alphabet and Mr. Lowell. We're going to Washington today, okay? Now, listen. This is not hard. The House of Representatives is apportioned according to population. We have 435 representatives. And it's done because it's divided for every 180,000 people, whatever it is, there's a representative. Okay? 435. Because it is the people's house. It's the one closest to you. We have 435 representatives so that it would be harder to move legislation. See, the founders made it hard to make law. They made it hard. And so by having 400, they had to get 435 divided by 2, they had to get 223 votes. They always had to have 223 votes, and it was hard to pass legislation. And as we've grown, some people say, well, we need more representatives, which would be a good idea. We probably ought to change that and all that. There ought to be 1,000 representatives in Congress. There ought to be 2,000 representatives. But here's the other thing that really killed us, and it was the 17th Amendment. Was it the 17th, Lowell?
Yes, the state Senate.
Yeah, see, listen, do you guys know this? That up until the 17th Amendment was put into place, the states determined, the state legislature determined their senators. The state legislature, we elected, because it's government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So we would elect our representatives to Columbus, Ohio, to our state house, Republicans and Democrats, and then they would pick the senator. Did you know that?
No.
They would pick the senator.
They were to represent the interests of the state. Congress represents the interests of the people.
They were to represent the interests of the state. So the state so if your senator went to Washington, D.C., and he wasn't representing the views of the people, what was our recourse? They called him home and they sent somebody else in. Now, in Ohio, in 17th Amendment, changed the voting for the Senate to a direct election by the people. And so now we get a guy like Sherrod Brown representing in Ohio, and he's in there for 6 years. You can't do anything about it. So the 17th Amendment, as Lowell said, the House of Representatives were the representatives of the people, and the Senate was the representatives of the state. That's why each state got two senators. Is this crazy? And you know what happened? The House and the Senate doesn't even matter because the courts can overrule them. See, that is not the way it's supposed to work. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
The President of the United States, too, used to be appointed.
Say it again, but I'm sorry.
The President of the United States also was appointed through the representatives of the state at one time.
That's true. George Washington was never elected president. He was appointed. That's right, Dale. In fact, they actually appointed him probably king for life, didn't they? And he said, I'm not going to do that. And they passed it on to John Adams or John Quincy or Thomas Jefferson.
John was number two.
So even
today, the president is not supposed to be elected by the people. It's supposed to be elected by an electoral college. Each state is responsible for how the people that vote on it are selected.
They're trying to do away with it, right?
All 50 states have adopted that the electoral college be constructed according to the popular vote, which puts the whole ball of wax in popular vote. The House representative, the Senate, and the President are all according to the popular vote. We just have a little hitch in there with electoral college numbers can be messed with a little bit. But you know what? The original intent of the Constitution was just like, I forget who it was, George or somebody just said, man, the states were supposed to have their representative. The people were supposed to have theirs. And the president was supposed to be elected by people all around the country that supposedly we have more knowledge and insight than the general population as a whole. And the whole thing's been turned upside down.
So hey, Marbury versus Madison. Hang on a minute. I'm sorry. Marbury versus Madison had that famous line in that case. And it said this, all decisions contrary to the Constitution are null and void. The courts ruled that, right? So, listen, abortion's null and void. It's contrary to the Constitution because the court made the ruling. Are you with me? Somebody trying to get in there. Come on in.
Yeah. A coach. Okay, so problem number two person says, hey, if Trump gets in another 4 years, we got a chance of getting four more conservative justices. Well, first of all, the guy Trump appointed, it isn't necessarily all that conservative, right? You know, people think is going to be in the courts. So they're programmed to think the courts are the ones we need to fix.
Yeah, so in other words, you're saying if we can just get our guys in then we'll control it then. If we can get our guys in there. And see, we're falling right into the same trap.
But, Coach, wouldn't the New World Order rather have someone like Trump appoint these justices? Because, you know what, then there's a perception that we get justices. There's a perception if the liberals appoint them, they're bad justices, which they would be. But, and people's minds now, they're programmed that the court, not the House of Representatives.
George, I remember back in the election of 2004, I think it was. When did the towers went down in 2001, right? And I remember when I went down, they brought the Patriot Act through, and I was doing terrestrial radio at that time in Columbus, Ohio, and I said, "Oh, this is not good. This is not good. You guys may be comfortable with George W. Bush and the Patriot Act, but you ain't going to be comfortable with some other guy when he becomes president and he gets all these powers. You're not going to be comfortable now." And so we passed the Patriot Act, And look what we handed to Barack Hussein Obama to be able to do to the American people. And the only reason that he was able to do it to the American people is because we've got our court system screwed up. We think courts have the final say, and they don't have the final say.
Dave.
Yeah, Roger. Kill the lawyers!
You know, Coach?
Roger's coming in, Larry.
Kill the lawyers till you need them. Here's my quick comment on Bush. The reason we were not attacked during the 8 years he was president is they were listening to everything that was being said in the United States. Yeah, all of our, every constitutional right we had from a standpoint of our own sovereignty as an individual was violated. Everything was being listened to.
Amen. And guys, I want you to think about this, Larry, then I'll let you come in here. I haven't been to college recently. Do they even teach the Constitution in college anymore? Is that even a required course, you think? Is that even taught in high school? Probably not. It probably isn't even taught, is it? So therefore, the people have no idea. We talk about constitutional rights. Well, they're not constitutional. The Bill of Rights is a bill of limitations on what the government can do. We think that the Bill of Rights grants us our rights. No, it limits the government. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of the establishment of religion. Second one, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So the first 10 amendments of the Constitution are, they're not the Bill of Rights, folks, they're the Bill of Restrictions. They are limitations on the government, on what the government can and cannot do. 9 and 10 say what? If it doesn't clearly spell it out in the Constitution, the right belongs to the people. You can do whatever you want to. The government can't. Oh, man. Don't get me going. Larry, you want to jump in here?
Yeah, I wanted to say that, you know, all this information is just like knowing the truth about the simplicity of what the Bible says and comparing it to what the perception of what the Bible says because of the false teachings of a bunch of false teachers. And we have the same situation with our Constitution. We have the simplicity of what the Constitution says, but we have the reality of what society has been trained to think what the Constitution means.
Amen.
And so here's the question is, what is the solution to get back to what it says?
Amen. Amen. David wants to say, go ahead, Dave.
You know what, Coach? What else people don't realize is that when you're dealing with people like most of us were, not are, but like me, I never knew any of this. I'm an American citizen, was born here, raised by Americans, never knew any of this. But what I did know was how to get around the system and my rights that would help me get around the system.
Isn't that something, huh? Isn't that something? Hey, Jared, pull up the Constitution again. First Amendment. Lowell, anything, Dad?
Nope, not at this time.
Well, isn't that what our enemy's doing, Coach? Is going to eventually use our own very Constitution to bring us down by having poor children, population, getting the votes, and all of a sudden we can change the Constitution. We can change it to a Sharia law. Why? Because the Muslims are having 12 children and the so-called Christians are having 2 children.
That's right. And would you give me a refill? And Jared, listen, we can change the Constitution. You can amend the Constitution. We're able to do that. There's a legislative process to do it. But the Constitution isn't changed by judges. They don't. Again, they made it very difficult. Very difficult. Now look, guys, girls, say amen if this is enlightening to you. I'm going to pause. Say amen if you hadn't heard some of this. Come on.
Amen.
Amen, Coach.
All right, good. Encourages me to keep on that, okay? Okay, so let's look at the First Amendment, which is right up there. I want you to see this. Congress shall make no law. Why would they say Congress shall make no law? Why don't they say the courts shall make no law?
They're restricting just the United States Congress.
Because courts can't make law. So they say Congress, who makes the laws, I'm editorializing here a bit, Congress, who makes the laws, shall make no laws. It'd be like saying the bakery who bakes cakes shall bake no cakes.
Coach, they did not even consider the judiciary had the right to create anything.
They didn't. The judiciary, they had no authority. They didn't. when they created
Moore's Judicial Review incorporated in the Constitution.
That's right.
That's what Marbury Madison was about.
That's exactly right.
We should have fought the battle back then.
Amen. So Congress shall make no law respecting what? An establishment of a religion. Remember, what is an establishment? Everybody has to be a member of a church. By the way, folks, religion, not Christianity. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of Methodism or Presbyterianism or Episcopalianism or Catholicism. Congress will never make a national church. It's right there, the very first. This was the stumbling block of getting the signers of the Declaration of the Constitution. This was the stumbling block. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Now, or, fellas, this is a connecting participle. Although it's not a participle. I can't remember my English training. You cannot disconnect these two. This, you hear about the establishment clause. You cannot disconnect the establishment clause from free exercise clause. Right there it is. Congress shall make no law. Congress makes the laws respecting an establishment of a religion, or they're connected, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So I'm a football coach in London, Ohio. They hired me to be the football coach. And I want to pray before a football game. And the school board says it's okay. And as far as I know, everybody says it's okay, except some judge somewhere says, no, that you can't do that. Say, why can't I do that? Well, coach, you're establishing a religion. Really? What religion am I establishing? And by the way, don't I have a free exercise here? Isn't it a free exercise? So if I want to pray before the football game, can some of the players choose to play or not play? Pray or not pray? Can they make that decision? That free exercise of faith? And do I quit that? Do I have to take my Christian hat off when I go to work? No, that's a compartmentalization of Christianity. It's what they've done to us. Free exercise of your faith. Yes.
Hey, but you answered the very thing. You said it has nothing to do with you as an individual. It says Congress will make no law. Congress will make no law. You're not Congress. You were just a coach. You are Congress. You can't make an establishment of religion because you're not Congress. So you can establish your religion.
How do you establish a religion anyway? I mean, if you go start a church, let's say you start a church, how do you establish a church? Do you have bylaws? You have committee members? You have elders? How do I establish a church? I wasn't trying to establish anything. I was trying to free exercise of my faith. Yep. You with me, guys? You see what they've done to us? We hear them talk all the time about the establishment clause. We don't hear them talk about the free exercise clause, do we? Right? Right?
But even going back to the establishment clause, it begins with, you can't take text out of context. It says, who can't establish? Who can't? It says Congress can't.
Congress doesn't
say that Dave Dobermeier can't establish and express his religion. It says Congress.
No, but listen, this is important, folks. The school board could set restrictions on me. Remember, government's supposed to be local. It's supposed to be local. And so if the school board had trouble and they didn't really want me to pray, then they can call me into a room and we can have a meeting and say, you know, coach, we love you as a coach and we appreciate your free exercise of religion, but we don't really want that going on here. We're kind of we set our own rules and regulations here. So you're going to have to make a choice, coach. We would love for you to remain our coach. We'd appreciate it if you stopped the pregame prayers. I believe the school system has the right to do that. Congress doesn't, and certainly some judge doesn't. Go ahead, Roger.
Hit the nail on the head. The Constitution prohibits Congress from doing those things. It does not present the states or lower jurisdictions from doing them.
So in our public school, guys, listen, you better get this. You better understand this. In your public school where you are in your public school, if you all got together and you went to all the churches and you raised up all the people and they went to the school board meeting and they said, listen, we here have decided we want prayer back in our schools. We demand prayer back in our schools. We pay for the schools. our children go to those schools. We want our values reinforced. And a vote was held in the community, and the community said, yes, we want prayer back in schools, to the federal government. They have no say over it. Do you understand? This is government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is the way it's supposed to work. And if David Arthur doesn't want to pray because he's a woman, well, God bless him. He's got free exercise. He doesn't have to.
Hey, Coach, we had that exact same thing happen in Louisiana in St. Tammany, where the school board opened in prayer in the reading of the scripture. The ACLU come down and huffed and said they were going to sue him. They said, we don't care. You can sue us, and we're still going to do it. Guess what? They still open up the school board in prayer and read it in the scripture. You know what? It's one of the top 10 schools districts in the nation.
Yeah, well, see, so we have to understand this. Hey, David just posted, hey, ACLU, you are not Congress and you have no authority. See, the American Civil Liberties Union isn't any different than the Southern Baptist Convention. They're no different than that. And yet we allow them to over, oh my goodness. You guys, that's how the left, remember when I refer to the left, I'm talking about God-hating communists who hate America. That's the left.
Hey, Coach.
That's who they are. Yes.
I'd like to throw in here for discussion, Senator True, perhaps, the solution or one way to come to a solution in this matter. And it's already in our documents. It's already in the Constitution, and it was already considered by the, you know, people that wrote the Constitution, and that's called impeachment. Impeachment, historically, has impeached more judges than any other segment of government as a historical matter. Now, it's been a long time since an impeachment has resulted in a conviction, but those convictions, and the convictions have gone against the judges, thrown them out of office way more often than it has an official.
That's right. For the judges, even those guys who are in there for lifetime, are only in lifetime during times of good behavior.
Yeah. And, right?
and when they say that you can murder a baby, that ain't good behavior.
Yeah. And George,
it should have been our duties to overthrow it.
Yeah, George Washington stated this as they were going through the Constitution writing process. He said, the power under the Constitution will always be in the people. It's entrusted for certain defined purposes and for a certain limit to representatives of their own choosing.
Jared, let's go back and pull that First Amendment back up, Jared. Somebody's trying to get in. I'm sorry. Pull that First Amendment back up, Jared.
Okay. This is one short paragraph.
Somebody trying to come in. Come on in.
This one paragraph, suffer me to read it, please. George Washington said, the power under the Constitution will always be in the people. It is entrusted for certain defined purposes and certain limited period to representatives of their own choosing. And whenever it is executed contrary to their interests or not agreeable to their wishes, talking about the people, their servant can and undoubtedly will be recalled. George Washington's solution was not only the impeachment within the Constitution, but also the power of recall by the people and each of the unfortunately have enacted.
Well, we don't even follow that stuff anymore. Hang on, we don't know the Constitution, Larry. I didn't mean. I had a hard time hearing you. You're breaking up a little bit. Maybe it's on my end. Stay with me here. I'm back to the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting free exercise thereof. Hang on. Can the local government make a law respecting the establishment of religion? Absolutely. Absolutely. It specifically says Congress. If the local people want to establish a religion, they are allowed to do so. Congress cannot do it. All right? Now stay with me. It says abridging the freedom of speech. When I go to the abortion clinic, and those of you who went with us to the abortion clinics, and the cops show up, and the cops say, you're not allowed to step here, and you're not allowed to say that. What, based on what are they saying that? Well, based on what some judge in Washington, D.C. said about it. And instead of the city of Columbus saying, no, we're going to permit this type of speech here, or we're not going to permit this type of speech here, it could change according to localities, because government is supposed to be most effective when it's local. Are you guys with me? You understand what's going on here?
Hey.
These restrictions are specifically directed at Congress and the federal government telling the individual citizen what they can do where they live.
The states are bound.
Hang on.
States, it was designed such the states would be bound by their own constitution.
There you are.
The federal government was to create a sense of harmony between the states, period, and to defend the whole country from foreign invasion and interference, not to control the lives of the people. Now, what they'll argue is the 14th Amendment extends their authority, because they'll claim that somebody's individual, quote, federally guaranteed human rights are violated, so therefore they have all this purview.
Yeah, but see, those rights aren't guaranteed federally. They just tell us they are. Yeah, Roger.
Well, let's assume the last 40 minutes you are correct. Let's assume.
What do you mean assume?
Let's assume they are correct and our government is dysfunctional, okay?
Yep.
Well, then I think the question is, what is the means now to influence? And it seems to me the influence, one could argue, yes, is in elections, but it really isn't. It seems to me we've reached a point where you influence by the mob showing up, by numbers showing up, you know, Black Lives Matter showing up in numbers on the streets, and that
the gun grabbing kids down there in Florida. Yes.
Well, my point is, if the system is so dysfunctional, it's not even operating the way it should be, how do you influence now? And I believe it's the minority showing up in numbers, which the church never does, that scares the weak politician who's not even on solid ground on what he's doing.
They're making decisions based on emails, phone calls, faxes.
Hey, Kurt.
I think of the riots in, was it Maryland, when the police chief said, well, we're going to let them have some. That's how we're really being governed if we really went down to brass tacks, is there is a sense of mob participation to influence.
Mob rule, and it's top down instead of bottom up. Well, our government's supposed to be bottom up.
The government, I mean, the various leaders are appealing to the mob, which would have chilled George Washington to the core.
What do we think they're doing right now, Maxine Waters? What are they trying to do? They're trying to get mob rule, because they lost through the electoral process, so they go to mob rule. Jared, go back to the First Amendment again. I'm sorry.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
So really what we're saying, it's like it says in God's word, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing our foundations being eroded because we, the people, aren't standing up. Like Roger just said, it should be the Christians and the church out there. If they were doing that, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Absolutely. But see, it's misteaching in the church, right? Now, stay with me a second. It's prohibiting, I'm First Amendment. It talks about religion and the free exercise thereof. And then it talks about free speech. And Congress shall make no law. Stay with me. Here we go. Congress shall make no law respecting the abridgment of the free speech. Nor can Congress make any law regarding the press. Nor can Congress make any law regarding the right of the people to peaceably assemble. Nor can Congress make any law regarding the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. How do we redress our grievances right now? We go to the courts. We go to the unaccountable, godless courts. Well, that's not a redress of grievances. And then one of the things I'm going to say today, the Lord gave me this in the middle of the night last night. I'm going to talk about, we've all heard of taxation without representation. You know what the Supreme Court has done? Secularization without representation. There are no evangelical fish. Representation. There is no evangelical representation on the Supreme Court of the United States. None. The closest thing to it is Judge Gorsuch, who just got on there, and he's an Episcopalian. The rest are Catholics and Jews, and one Episcopalian. Where is the representation of the evangelical God-fearing, it's not there. And see, that's by design. Because when they go to the Senate, who picks the justices? Why? The Senate. The unaccountable Senate. And so, therefore, they... Oh, what a racket.
Okay, Coach, I got a question. Who give the Supreme Court the authority over us? Who give it? If they have no authority... Okay, how did they take it?
We surrendered it.
By default, Jackson. We surrendered.
Okay, listen. Lowell's going to give you history here.
Okay, Marbury versus Madison back in 1804, I think it was. And it was an unimportant issue. So there were bigger issues on the table. Nobody fought it. Well, then that established the precedent, the stare decisis of judicial review. Okay, well, they didn't overplay their hand until they got to a guy named Andy Jackson. And he ignored the Supreme Court. Right. He said, enforce it if you can.
He said, they've made their ruling now. Let's see him enforce it. That's what he said.
And then the next guy that came down the road that ignored him was Abraham Lincoln, because there was a national emergency. Okay, so it's been an ongoing, but we don't fight that battle anymore.
Right.
Okay, we don't. Last time they were challenged, Franklin Roosevelt was going to pack the court because they kept ruling as unconstitutional his economic recovery plans. But they gave him what he wanted because it had created a constitutional crisis. And that's what they seek stability. They don't want to fight the battle when the battle should be fought.
So when they show up, George, when Dan Fisher's elected governor in Oklahoma and he outlaws abortion, you're going to see a constitutional crisis, brother. That's what we need to have happen, see.
Yeah.
The feds are going to come in and say, you can't do that. And Dan Fisher's going to stand up. They'll probably throw him in jail. Dan Fisher's going to stand up and say, you have no business here. In fact, the most powerful office in America is the local sheriff. Did you know that? The power belongs to the local sheriff. The local sheriff can tell the Fed, get out of here. You got no business here.
Yep.
That's government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's the way it's supposed to be, bottom up, not top down.
Well, technically, that's the most powerful law enforcement position in the country. Practically, that's not true. And until we, the people, manage to change the perception of it, the practicality overrules technicality.
But if we go back to the Declaration of the Independence itself, because it's not all in the Constitution, it doesn't hold the supremacy. It's the nature of God's law is the ultimate supremacy. And also it talks about the Declaration when it comes to time that it is the duty of the people to cast off such restraints of such a government. And so when Dan Fisher makes a law that says abortion is illegal in the state of Oklahoma and the federals come in, it is the duty of the people to step in and resist the federal government.
Yes, the people need to rise up and tell the feds to go pound sand. Hey, boys, you're smarter than that, aren't you? Marijuana is a federal crime. It's a federal crime right now, today, unless you live in Colorado. And it's not a federal crime in Colorado. Why? Because the people said you don't have any jurisdiction on that. You have no jurisdiction over marijuana. We're going to legalize marijuana. That's a state's rights issue. So if Dan Fisher rises up and said, listen, Colorado wants to smoke pot, we want to save babies, stay out of here, they have the authority to be able to do that. See, and we don't, because of our poor understanding of our governmental system and how it's supposed to work, and the silence of the church bowing its knee to secular government rather than to the King of Kings, that's how we end up in the mess that we're in. Now, Jared's got up on the screen. I'm not going to take time to read it because it's hard for me to see, and we're coming to the end of the program. If you would read the Declaration of Independence, which, by the way, is not a legal document, okay? The Declaration of Independence is what they call what? The mission statement, the vision statement, and then what is the Constitution? The Constitution is the bylaws to the mission statement. So the Declaration of Independence came out and laid out why we were dissolving ourselves from Britain. That was the mission statement. Here's what we're going to do. Here's why he did this, 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 and because he did that, we're not going to put up with it anymore. And then when they gained their independence. Then they came up with the bylaws, which was the Constitution of the United States. So here's what they try to say to us. We hold these truths of evidence that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. They try to say, well, that's not a legal document. See? See what they did? See the game they play? They said, well, that's not a legal document. Well, sure, well, okay, but it's organic law. It's the mission statement.
It's the only source of legitimacy the government has.
Oh, that's really good. See,
it's the foundation stone. It's a declaration. Roger would call it a specification of facts. These are the rights we have from our creator.
Oh, that's okay. So good.
Constitution that, and the is an agreement contact. Between the people to live together in peace.
So there, the Declaration of Independence is simply laying out the reason, the authority for them separating from England. They're just simply laying out the case that by this authority are we doing this, right, Lowell?
Right.
That's what the Declaration does. And when they separated themselves and the and independence was gained, then they came up with a constitution.
We the people.
We lived under the Articles of Confederation for about 13 or 15 years, maybe even longer than that. And when they brought the new country together, mm-hmm. they did away with the Articles of Confederation because they had a new government and a new form of government, a government of the people, by the people, for the people, something that had never been seen on the face of the earth.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
There's one problem. You know, it was that George Washington didn't allow the people to make him king, right?
Right.
And it's good we don't have a king, but there's one problem. The people in the United States, they don't want any king, including the king of kings. This whole thing only works. Our Constitution only works for a moral people, and that's if Jesus is king of kings over this nation.
John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is totally inadequate for the governance of any other. So we are back in Washington, D.C. today. Why? Because we're going to redress our government. We're going to our government for a redress of grievances, right? And so they're not going to hear us, but we're going to continue to knock on that door, and we're going to continue to say, hey, we haven't thrown in the towel yet. I don't care what those terrorists in black robes said. We have not thrown in the towel. You have overstepped your bounds, and we are going to take back our nation rightfully with the proper authority. Courts don't make law, and the pretended legislation that you've brought upon the United States is not only unconstitutional, it's ungodly. I'm going to begin to try to push back that way. So Dan Fisher, the election's today. And here's where we are in America. The average Christian probably will not vote for Dan Fisher. And why won't they vote for Dan Fisher? Because they don't understand our system of government. They don't understand it. They think that abortion's the law of the land. Oh, they're not personally for it. They're not, but who am I to judge and, you know, all that malarkey. And so then the pastors won't stand up. Right, George? The pastors won't stand up in their pulpits and say to the people, vote for Dan Fisher. If they would do that, Dan Fisher would win, and then we would get that constitutional crisis that we need to have. Amen.
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 You know, the Declaration of Independence is kind of like the birth certificate of the United States.
Well, it's the mission statement. It's the mission statement, like any business mission, vision statement. That's how you do it, isn't it? Don't you start out, well, I'm not a business guy, but you start out with a mission statement.
Roger can, they beat on this. I used to in law school all the time. The Declaration of Independence is it's a statement of the law of nature and nature's God. Okay? In other words, that is the basis for, only legitimate basis for government in any sense. Consent of the governed. We organize together in society to overrule the rule of the jungle. Okay? That gives us our right always to choose what government we live under. And it gives us the authority to usurp that government when necessary to reestablish what? Liberty, your gift.
So when so America, Ohio in 2004, when we passed our marriage amendment, we said no homo marriage in Ohio. That is the law of the land. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. All the power belongs to the people. It's a state's rights issue. You with me? Congress can't rule on it. Why? It's not under their jurisdiction. It's not one of their enumerated powers. And if it's not an enumerated power, who does it belong to? The Ninth Amendment to the states, Tenth Amendment to the people. That's the way our government's supposed to work. So if we're going to salvage America, the church has got to awaken, and we cannot play defeatism politics anymore, and woe is us, and the rapture's coming. We're going to be out of here, and no sense pushing back. I'm going to be right there, Donald. President Trump, up right there. That limo, can David and Lowell, can they ride in it with it? Okay, yes, sir. We'll be. I got to run. President Trump wants me over here, and I got a meeting with John Roberts at the Supreme Court. So, thanks for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.